Welcome to the Conquer Your Draft podcast, where fantasy champions are made. Welcome back to the Conquer Your Draft fantasy football podcast. I'm Josh, and with me as always is Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. I'm worried, though, that I'm going to forget the thing I just told you off air. So we're trying to, so people know, we're trying to sort out what our next couple episodes are. We know with free agency and stuff, there's lots to talk about, but there's a few gaps we want to fill. I just came up with a good idea, and I don't want to forget it. So I'm hoping if I continue to talk about the fact that I have a good idea, neither of us will forget it.
Are you a skilled enough multitasker that you could type it in our messages while still talking to me on here?
100%. When we're recording these podcasts, I'm usually doing three things at once.
Perfect. Okay. So you type it out. You can message it to me on our recording platform, and then it'll be there, and we're good, and you won't forget, and then you won't have to worry.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to do that, and I think it's one of those things that because the off season has so much stuff going on, we know that like probably 20 minutes of our episodes are going to be dedicated to news. Like the news is just going to flow. From now until the season starts, really. Like, there's just going to be constant stuff to talk about. So, really, our episodes, like they were last year, are kind of structured where half of it is whatever topic we come up with. And the other half is news. Because there's always something going on.
Yeah. Well, I would say it's a third the topic, a third the news, and a third is just our nonsense.
I don't know if our nonsense takes up a full third.
I don't know. It took us like 6 weeks to get to our tight end.
Well, that's good. Stuff kept happening, though. That wasn't 100% our fault. That stuff kept happening. Every week, something ridiculous would happen, and we'd have to talk about it. So, I don't know. True. It did take that. That is right. That I think we had planned at least three times in a row to talk about the tight ends, and we just never got to it. Eventually, we did, but it just took us forever.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I think we'll kind of hit a point where the news will slow down a bit, and it'll be more of the topic until we kind of get into that preseason. Because like once the draft happens, and then we're between the draft and the start of camps and preseason.
Like, about a 2 month period. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like a limbo. Yeah. So I think it'll slow down there.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I think that that's where. I remember what we did last year was we were able to have some fun with a variety of things to get people ready for camps to open. Start thinking that it's never too early to start thinking about your picks for next year and your fantasy league, especially if you're in a league where you have to do something big this year. Like you have to make a big statement because it's been a frustrating couple of years. The ownership group's frustrated. My fan base is frustrated. So I basically have to start now. So this summer will be a lot of prep to get ready for next year's draft.
Yep. You and the Bills have a lot in common, eh?
We are having a similar time right now. All the talent in the world, big expectations, like just fantastic skills all over the place. Like no one can deny that the skills are there. But for some reason, we just can't get it done in the playoffs. Gone on a couple good runs, couldn't get it done.
Yeah, you just can't finish, can't execute.
Yeah, I think part of the issue is, the ridiculousness that is life. Because I draft a pretty solid team every year, and even if I make mistakes in the draft, which I'll fully admit I have, I do a pretty good job of building a strong team during the regular season. Like I think if you look back at the statistics and you look back at the record and you look back at everything, the past couple of years, I've been one of the best regular season teams, but then something happens.
You lose to the eighth place.
Well, that only happened once. That was this year's disappointment. The other two previous years, it was a player specific, but even then, like something ridiculous happens and my team can't play for a week and they're not playoff performers. And it was ridiculous. This was my year. We all knew that. And I've had a lot of time to think about it And I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready for a new plan, new strategic outlook this summer. It's gonna be a fascinating year. I wish I could fast forward to August, but I can't. So
it's like that movie. I don't know if you ever saw it with Adam Sandler. Click.
I don't think I ever watched it. No, I know what one you're talking about, but I don't think I ever sat down.
Yeah, that's what you need a remote like that just for your life for fantasy football. Just skip fast forward ahead to fantasy football season.
Yeah, that would be really nice because then we'd be in a position where I could finally prove that last year was a fluke and I'm ready to go this year with my basically my new team mentality. Lots of great things in the work. We'll see what happens.
Will it be a new team name?
Let's just say there will be decisions that are made. I'm not going to reveal anything right now. I think that there's time to develop those things. But there's a lot of interesting things in our league. You know, got to go through all the potential expansion requests. Got to sort all that out. Got to see if there's any teams that can relocate. Are we keeping the current roster or keeping the current group? There's a lot of big decisions to be made here. So it's a busy time for me first as commissioner. And then eventually I will answer those types of questions within my own organization.
No, okay. Sounds good. I had two team names picked out because it all depended on how I did in the Super Bowl. That was going to dictate what the future of my franchise looked like. And well, since I won, so that made it easy. But I had a really funny one in case if I lost and Champ was no longer the reigning victor. I had a really funny one that was going to annoy you to no end. So I'm just going to save that one for future. When the dynasty inevitably comes to an end, I'm going to save it for then.
I have made a very bold, but I think accurate calls, Commissioner. I will not allow you the name Champ, Champ, Champ.
That's actually not the one I picked, so that's fine.
Fine, good.
Yeah. Great. It crossed my mind. It did cross my mind.
Anything more annoying than you calling your team Champ, Champ, Champ?
I promise you. The one I picked is probably going to annoy you more.
Great. Good. Good. Very good.
Well, should we dive into the news?
Let's do it. There's a lot happening. Free agency is days away by the time people hear this. There's so much going on. And there's a lot that I think really, really is going to impact fantasy. I'm really going to be fascinated to see what your thoughts are on a couple potential things in the news here, because I think there's some really big ones.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been a couple of big things that came out just yesterday and today, actually. But we'll point them out as we get through it. So we are covering 2 weeks worth of news here as well. Obviously we didn't have an episode last week. So some of this is a bit outdated, but we're still going to go over it all because it's relevant for fantasy.
Let's do it.
So the Bengals have used the franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins. Not a huge surprise there, at least to me. They like what they have with him and Chase. It benefits both of them. And I think Higgins is probably not too upset because the Bengals, when fully healthy, are a Super Bowl caliber team.
Yeah, so if they're healthy, if Burrow can stay healthy, then the Higgins Burrow Chase combo is going to be good, and I don't think Higgins will have any issue getting the ball. They don't really have an established tight end, so it's really like those are the two passing options that I think they really like. So I can't see this being anything but good for Higgins.
Yeah, and I think it keeps him on a team where he has a chance to get a ring, assuming Joe Burrow stays healthy, and he doesn't have any issues. So I think he's probably pretty content with it.
It's a big assumption, though. Like Burrow has had some injury issues early in his career, so you hope, and I do hope, like for the sake of the league, I like when the quarterbacks are healthy. And you can really see how a team stacks up against each other. So as far as I'm concerned, I really hope that he is healthy, but it's something I'd be worried about. Like, it's, you know, it's not exactly that this has been the only time that this has happened. Like, it's been, it's kind of been a tough go for Burrow in his early part of his career.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of bad luck. Just bad injury luck. Yeah, really. Cause like, it's not anything he's doing, you know, like, he stopped running as much after he had that ankle injury. And then what was it in the preseason this year? Was it his calf? Is that what
was his calf? Yeah.
Yeah. And then, those aren't things you can really prevent, but he's played in four seasons and two of them he's played, I think, the full season. The other two, he's only played 10 games. So you're running a risk of, are you going to have Joe Burrow for the whole year or not? But
yeah,
if I was T. Higgins, and unless I knew that I could get, I guess ultimately it depends what his main motivation is. Is it the money or a chance at the ring, right? Because there's probably not too many other teams out there with that caliber that would be able to pay him more and still have a chance at a ring. So if the ring is what he wants, then I'd say, I think him being in, being a Bengal still makes the most sense. I mean, like, ultimately he doesn't have a choice because the team franchise tagged him, but I never heard anything, you know, saying like, well, if you guys franchise tag me, like, I'm not going to play, anything like that. So it seems like it was, at least for the most part, mutually agreed upon.
Yeah. And I think certainly from his perspective, you've got to give it a chance with the team being healthy, because he is getting well-developed enough of a player now that he can compete with Chase for the ball, for receptions. He can be right there. I think it's definitely good for him to stay there. And again, if everyone's healthy, it's a pretty solid, like, Higgins is a pretty solid choice to be a later pick in your receiving core, because, you know, unlike a lot of other two receivers on teams, you know he's going to get the ball. You know he's going to get the opportunity. It's not quite the same dynamic as some other teams have. So you know that they will try to get him the ball. You know he can be a good, solid pick. So, yeah, I think all around for now it's good. And then you just have to see moving forward.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Mike Evans, wide receiver for the Buccaneers, has agreed to a two-year, $52 million contract to stay with the Buccaneers. They still haven't made any deal with Baker Mayfield, however, so we don't know for sure who will be their quarterback next season, but that's huge for the Buccaneers offense that Evans is staying.
It means that, I mean, you have to have a good quarterback, but it means that if you have just a decent, serviceable quarterback in there, you're still going to see Evans and that offense do some damage, because he's that good of a player.
Yeah, I think you could probably put anybody who can throw a functional deep ball in, and he would still have a pretty good season, really.
Yeah, I think, like, Evans has always been one of those guys who, like, does okay, and then this year he really sort of had great chemistry with Mayfield and, like, kind of broke up for a season. I don't know if you can count on that for him again next year, but you know he's going to have a solid year. Like, he's just another one of those receivers that probably isn't going to be picked pretty high by others. And if he falls to you, you're going to be really happy with that pick.
Yeah, I mean, this was certainly an up year compared to last year, but, I mean, historically, it's relatively on par for him. I mean, he's broken 1,000 receiving yards in every year of his career. So I guess it's kind of a bit like the Travis Kelce situation and Tom Brady back when he was around, you know, like, what, like, do you bet against him? Like, that this is going to be the year that it all falls off the rails, or... And then each year it doesn't, and then you look silly because you bet against him and he did well.
I don't know. I just, maybe it's just my perception. I just don't see, I see Mike Evans as like a solid receiver, but not someone that you can really build the rest of your team around in fantasy. Like, I see him as like, oh yeah, he's going to do well for you, but is he going to be incredible? This year he had like flashes when he was fantastic, but the years with Tom Brady, I mean, come on, that's Tom Brady. Like, I yeah. think I think to me that's a little different. But you're right. He's a solid 1,000-yard receiver. You know he's going to do that. Will he get 13, 14, 15 touchdowns or six? Like, that's my question.
Yeah. I agree. I trust him. Like, I would want to draft him to be my wide receiver two with a wide receiver one upside if it's that up year. But even on a bad year, like, you're still happy with him as your second wide receiver in your lineup.
If you pick one of the elite wide receivers and you get Mike Evans as your wide receiver two, you're in good shape. Like, that's not a bad pick. Yeah.
Eagles center Jason Kelce has officially announced his retirement. I mean, we already talked about that. What was it, like a month ago?
Yes, because we all knew he was retiring, but he had to wait it out, I guess, for a little bit extra attention. But end of the day, regardless of the personality of the player, he was a solid center, definitely one of the best in at least this modern era at the position. And I think that's a big impact for the Eagles, for their offensive line. That's a big loss for them.
Absolutely. The Denver Broncos will be releasing Russell Wilson after the new league year begins March 13th.
Who called that?
Did you?
Yeah.
I genuinely, I couldn't remember if you did.
I 100% said that after this season and the disaster of the season before, that there's no way you can keep this guy around anymore.
They paid him so much money, though.
Oh, I know, but what are you going to do? Like, how could you go on with how these past 2 years have gone? It's been a disaster for him there.
Yeah. I hope the league learned something from this contract and the Deshaun Watson contract.
They're not going to learn.
Don't just throw money at people.
Come on, they're not going to learn.
Yeah, probably not, but you can hope.
There will be big, like, next week, you know, there will be huge contracts handed out. And some will work out and some won't. But there will be massive contracts handed out. And we'll be doing the same song and dance a couple years later. But yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson, an absolute disaster. Monster contract, monster deal. Now, I think someone's going to pick him up.
Well, that was going to be my question is, where do you think he's going to go?
I don't know where, but he's going to get picked up by someone. And probably the situation that they want to throw him in is when they have a room where they're uncertain at their quarterback and they want him in there for either some competition or from some security, become kind of that plan B, that backup scenario. But again, he probably wants to still be a starter. He, you know, he's only got probably a couple of years left where he feels he can play. So I'm sure he's going to want to try to get himself into a position. So I don't know a team off the top of my head, but I don't think it's going to be for a big starter position. But hey, a team that's growing and developing that maybe has some younger quarterbacks that wants to bring in that veteran to either support or just be that kind of backup plan, I could see that happening. Maybe a place like the Colts, where they have a young quarterback with some injury issues. Again, if they can get him cheap, they will. And if Russell Wilson's being released, I mean, he was already guaranteed a certain amount of money. He might be able to sign, even if it's just 1 year, for a team for a little less. Do what Baker Mayfield did. Go somewhere. Try to reestablish himself.
I've got two spots that I think he could potentially go.
Don't say Atlanta.
No, not Atlanta. Okay,
because that would ruin all my thoughts for next year. Because Atlanta, to me, is an absolute gold mine for fantasy if they get a decent quarterback. And Russell Wilson would not, to me, fit that mold.
No. Now, I'm not saying that it's not possible that he doesn't go to Atlanta. But the teams that I'm thinking Minnesota Vikings, if they don't keep Kirk Cousins, which everything I've kind of heard, it seems to be that that's not the plan.
Yeah.
I think they might take him because they're the 11th pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of high caliber weapons. I think they might try to make it work and then maybe wait to draft another one when they're in a better position.
Right.
Like next season or something, you know, kind of just try to hold off. Because if Kirk Cousins can run that offense pretty well, like, you would hope Russell Wilson could. Not like,
I don't know.
You hope, right? Like,
I think Kirk Cousins has a better arm than Russell Wilson does. And I think that that's going to be the issue, because with deep threats and wanting to be able to hit Jefferson deep, that might be an issue. But what you're saying does hold true of all you have to do is get the ball to these receivers, and they're good at the yak yards. They can get the yards after the catch. They can move around. They're talented. So yes, you hope. I don't think that's a terrible landing spot for Russell Wilson, because I do think the weapons he'd have there are so much better than the ones in Denver that he would be able to do a little bit more. I just think, to me, Russell Wilson's a washed up quarterback. So anywhere he goes, I don't think it's a big boost. Like, Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Wilson. And I think if they're not willing to re-sign Cousins, even though Wilson's probably really on the cheap side, I feel like they'd take a risk somewhere else, like a Baker Mayfield or someone of that ilk, to be like, we got to bring in somebody else who's playing a little bit better right now. Because I think Wilson's just those 2 years, those were so awful that I don't know if people have that much faith in him to say, oh, we'll just get him some good weapons and he'll be fine.
Yeah. No, that's fair too. My second pick is potentially New England. And then they draft a wide receiver like Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 3.
Yeah, that would be interesting, because I do think that would be a very interesting spot for Wilson, considering the fact that I think if Russell Wilson has a really strong group of running backs, you put him in a better position to be successful.
Yeah. And the flip side of that too is I could also see New England being a landing spot for Kirk Cousins if the Vikings let him go.
Oh, if Kirk Cousins ends up in a place like the Patriots, and they do draft a wide receiver, like you're saying, that team to me becomes very different, because then they have a solid running back who you can trust. They at least have one good receiver, plus a couple like young ones that were starting to, I think, show a little bit. And, you know, they're going to probably rebuild their defense and work on that. That team becomes a lot more threatening, as far as I'm concerned, if that is the type of caliber of player they bring in. Now, Russell Wilson, though, I don't dislike that move for them either, because with a new head coach and a new kind of philosophy in there, the Patriots might be thinking like, hey, let's not rush this. Like, let's bring in Wilson, and maybe they do still draft a wide receiver and say, well, let's bring in Wilson on 1 year deal, see how he does, get kind of the new philosophy going, and then we can draft a quarterback later or find one later or do whatever they need to do. But they can work with Russell Wilson and bring in someone who's like, it's a veteran who we can trust in the room with the guys, and kind of move forward from there. It could be a transition year. I could see that happening.
Yep, exactly. And as a Patriots fan, I would definitely prefer the Cousins scenario.
Well, I don't
know. I don't think the Russell Wilson one would be terrible either, assuming they take Marvin Harrison Jr. With the number 3 pick.
Scenario, you think they wouldn't go for a quarterback?
Correct. Yeah. Because I think like they're missing out on the top two. I just don't like, you're running a gamble at that point, right? And they've kind of had a couple of years of okay quarterback play, not the greatest, like you're benching quarterbacks and stuff. So I don't think you want to take the gamble. If you can get a proven veteran on the free agency that can kind of kick the can down the road for a year or two and get an elite wide receiver, then you're putting yourself in a position like maybe next season, they still have a high draft pick. And okay, now there's a quarterback that we like that we can get, or the year after, right? Like you kind of give yourself a year or two buffer. Because if they're not willing to spend up to get the number 1 or 2 pick to move up from 3, then I don't think the quarterback they're getting at number 3 is going to make a huge difference. I think it's going to be status quo versus you get the elite receiver and a proven commodity. Like I think Kirk Cousins could easily turn the team around, especially with an elite rookie receiver.
Yeah.
Because we've seen him do that. I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on it. Who knows?
Yeah, because the only thing with Russell Wilson is no matter where he ends up, this is not, in my opinion, this isn't a long-term thing. Like, he's going to a team for 2 years, maybe, like if you're lucky. But he's probably getting a 1-year deal regardless. But what I'm saying is he'll, even if he has a good year next year, the year after still might be like on the decline. He's older. He's been around for a bit. Like, I just don't think that, I don't think this is a long-term solution. So any team that does pick him up might have to think like, okay, at the end of the day here, are we still going to draft a young quarterback, but just give the young quarterback time to develop so you don't make the mistake of throwing him in there? I could just see a team going that route too. I get what you're saying. Like, that's what I would do. You need talented receivers. You need to be drafting other offensive weapons regardless of who your quarterback is. So if you don't, if you're not 100% happy with a quarterback this year in the draft that you know you can put in and that you're happy with and you want to be part of your team next year, then to me, the best decision is, yep, you go get a Russell Wilson, you draft a wide receiver, and you wait another year. If you stink, you'll have another good draft pick next year, and maybe there's a better group of quarterbacks that you like.
Yep, yep. That's absolutely a viable strategy. I hope that's what they do, but we'll see. Because anything can happen in the draft too, right? Like we saw last year with Will Levis, you know, maybe for whatever reason, the Commanders or the Bears don't take one of those quarterbacks, and then that kind of throws that whole plan out the window.
Yeah.
Because now you have one of those two top options, and it's like, well, how do we not, you know?
Yeah. No, it's very true.
The New York Giants will not be franchise tagging running back Saquon Barkley. So that was a big sticking point last offseason because they put him on the franchise tag and he was not happy about that and kind of came back last minute. Didn't have that great of a year in terms of fantasy. The Giants as a whole, though, like, I mean, they had, what were they down to, like their fourth string quarterback at one point?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, he, like, Barkley still did okay. Like, just not.
He had flashes.
I think the expectation was higher for him for the year.
Yes. I mean, certainly when I acquired him in a trade, it was with higher expectations, and he was real hit and miss.
Yeah. I mean, he still finished as a top 12 running back on the season, but I think the expectation was, you know, like top six, maybe top seven.
Well, yeah, you draft or you trade a premium thinking he's a top six guy. Like, that's what you're thinking. Oh, this stabilizes my running back situation.
And it did not.
No, no. And the problem with his year, and yes, he finished top 12, but where sometimes you have to dive into the stats a little bit more, a lot of his stats came from like a handful of games. You might had six games that were really good.
That's what I was just going to say is he was... routinely he would do like 20 plus points and then be below 7 points the next week.
And like a lot. That would happen.
Quite literally. So from week 9 onwards, double digit points, single digit points, double, single, double, single, double, single, double.
And that
so just every other well week, don't play
me,
him.
Well into me trading for him. Like that was exactly the way it was. Where some weeks it's like, great, that was a perfect pick. And other weeks were like, I could have played literally anyone else because I had some other good running backs. But you have Saquon Barkley and your expectation is, aren't you going to play him every week? Like you put him in there. It would be a lot to take him out depending upon what the matchup is. But he, to me, especially the way he played the year before and his talent level, he's a top six running back and you don't take those out of the lineup that often. And he just didn't do it. He just did not perform up to that standard.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Who are you benching him for? Who do you have on your team that you're playing over him, right?
No, like nobody. No one you feel good about. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you're in a scenario where you have, you know, you just happen to be in a situation where you have three amazing running backs, you might not feel so bad. But if you have players who just don't have the name recognition, don't have the talent, don't have the history, and just aren't the same quality of play, and you have them sitting there, you're not thinking like, oh, I'm going to bench Barkley and throw in, I don't even know, Alexander Mathison, right? Like you're not doing that.
No. So it's expected he's going to be on the free agency unless the Giants can sign him to some big deal or big extension between this week and next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Assuming that doesn't happen, where do you think he goes?
Well, there's a lot of places I think he could end up. to me, Saquon Barkley, he's without a doubt still a big name. I think he's pretty young. Do we know? Do you know how offhand how old he is?
He is.
He's still youngish.
27.
Okay, so you know. Okay, so this is where I think would be really interesting for him. I think he would be really good in a team like the Houston Texans.
Okay.
That would be one potential landing spot. Like, I could see maybe the Minnesota Vikings, like a team that has in their plan or in their DNA a solid receiving game, and Barkley comes in as that, like, really good back that you could trust, get yards, use him in the red zone, part of a big offense. But unlike with the Giants, he doesn't have to be like the number one guy. I think that would be like huge for him to land in a place like that. If he was with Houston, a young team with a really solid receiving core, Minnesota, really solid receiving core, both teams would be, it would be a big upgrade on what they're doing right now. I think those two landing spots would be really interesting for him. I had heard a rumor of a team that's interested in him, but I don't know if it's true or not. And it's a little outrageous to me.
Which team?
The Dallas Cowboys. Which,
yeah.
To me, that's a little ridiculous. Because Tony Pollard, like, why would you... I don't know. I'm pretty sure that Pollard's still on contract. But, like, why... Like, I don't think, to me, that's not really an upgrade. Not with the way Pollard's been playing.
Yeah, I don't see them, the Cowboys, needing to move on from Pollard this year, so I don't think that one would pan out.
It's a rumor out there by the experts. The experts are talking about it. But those would be my picks. Like, if I were to, like, pick an interesting spot, Houston Texans, Minnesota Vikings, I think that would be really cool for Barkley to end up there.
Yeah, the Vikings were one of the ones I was going to say. I think he would fit in well there and kind of get them back to that 1-2 punch that they had back when they had Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, which is what I think worked really well for them, especially if they're going to have a questionable quarterback situation. We don't know what they're doing with the quarterback situation. If they add another big piece like Barkley, I feel like they can do a lot more with their offense.
Yeah. Yeah, the other two landing spots that I had potentially, the Chicago Bears.
Bears would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to kind of round out their offense.
I could see that working.
Yeah. And the Carolina Panthers, because the Miles Sanders thing did not work out.
Yeah. And the Panthers would be looking for that stability at the running back position. Cause just like Houston and just like the Bears, who are probably going to have this younger quarterbacks coming in, you want to give them some stability at the running back game. It worked really well for Jordan Love at times in the year, knowing mm-hmm. that he had, especially in the playoffs, where Aaron Jones kind of finally came back to it. Like, having that solid running back is helpful. So yeah, I think all those are great spots. Hey, it'd be wonderful if the Bills landed him.
I don't see that gonna happening,
happen.
Though.
Never going to yeah. happen. No.
No. No. It would be great for them, but I don't think they'll ever do it.
No, they wouldn't.
The Houston Texans and tight end Dalton Schultz have agreed to a 3-year, $36 million extension. So he's sticking around. We didn't see that much from Dalton Schultz over the year because he was kind of overshadowed by Tank Dell and Nico Collins. But still a very competent piece of the offense of their passing game. And I'm not surprised they want to keep him and that he wants to stay, because they kind of captured lightning in a bottle there this year with that offense and surprised everyone. So why not keep the crew together and see if they can do it again?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good fit for him, and I think it's a good fit for Houston. Solid veteran tight end when you have a young team around you. Yeah, you're right. It was a bit of an up and down year for him, and we didn't see too much from him. But there were a couple weeks there that when he was good, he was good. He was a player on my list to acquire at one point in time. So he must have piqued my interest enough. I don't make foolish decisions there, Josh. So I must have had some sort of inclining that he was having an okay season. But I think if you just have a solid tight end, it's like, okay, we don't have to worry about it. We've got two young receivers who are really going to continue to develop, a great quarterback. They're probably going to do something in the running back room. And now we know we've got a tight end we can trust on third down. He's a veteran. He's good to have with the younger players. I think it's a solid move.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, he doesn't have to be like a Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews level. He just has to be good. Like, yeah. Do his job and be able to catch the ball, like, when be that third man, you know, be the third receiver on the field, and be able to block and do your assignment. And I think he's more than capable of doing that. And you don't, tight end's a weird position. Like, well, like we say every year with fantasy, you know, like, if you don't have one of those elite options, like, you don't really know what you're getting. And so I think the Texans are kind of like, you know, what are the odds we get somebody better for cheaper, right? Like,
oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And frankly, you know, my mentality is, if you have two rookie, well, they will be second year receivers, but two young receivers, a young quarterback, why not have your tight end position be a veteran, regardless of who that veteran is? And they probably know him. Like, it's better. There's some saying about the evil that you know or whatever versus the one that you don't. It's better to know him, right? Yep. We know this guy. We know he works well in the room. Let's give him a reasonable contract and keep him around for a bit.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of keeping him around for a bit, so the Indianapolis Colts are franchise tagging wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. Again, I think that's kind of same as with T. Higgins, you know? You're on a pretty capable offense. Some exciting things with Anthony Richardson that unfortunately got cut short. He's the top guy.
I'm worried about him as a quarterback.
That's fair.
Just because, like, he does like to run. He likes to take those chances, him getting hurt. But you're right. Like, that it's a good situation. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Colts next year. Like, how much can they work with that? But the flashes we saw of Richardson, it was a really solid offense they're starting to build.
Yeah, and so the thing I kind of am taking solace in is, let's say Richardson comes back and he doesn't run as much. Well, we saw that with Joe Burrow, and it's worked out fine. So yes. As long as he has the arm to back it up, not a problem, because he can still run when push comes to shove, but it might just be less of a, okay, we want you to, like, less designed runs, you know, to try to help him stay alive at this point, because he got injured, I think, 3 times in his rookie year.
Yeah. I mean, ideally, that's exactly what he does, right? Like, he has the, I guess, as a coach, you've got to go to him, and as a team, you got to go to him and be like, okay, let's find times for you to run, but let's focus on developing this offense and making this work. And I think if he can do that, then yeah, the flashes we saw of him was really good. And Michael Pittman Jr. being there, that's like a good solid receiver piece that you have. And hopefully you can gain some consistency.
Yeah, I think if they operated him more like how the Chiefs operate Patrick Mahomes, you know, like just scrambling. Because if, let's say, like, drop a pass play and have him do his 2-3 reads, and then basically just kind of give him the green light, like, okay, if it's not there, run. Mm-hmm. And slide, most importantly, slide so you don't get hit. But then, you know, he'd be able to pick up chunk yardage on the ground. He's a very good runner. And then you kind of prolong his body. And, like, we saw it in the Super Bowl how effective Patrick Mahomes is at scrambling like that. If he can kind of steer his natural abilities into that kind of skill set, he could be an absolute nightmare for defenses and still provide well for fantasy, assuming the arm holds up and he can be as accurate as, like, a Burrow, Mahomes, a Lamar. Then I think he still keeps his fantasy value. Like, yeah, sure, you lose some of the rushing yards, but you're gaining the full season from him, and B, you're gaining passing yards. So
yes, definitely.
The 2024 NFL salary cap will be $255.4 million per club, with an additional $74 million per club for player benefit payments. So, big increase. I mean, I think that's, well, I mean, just like everything else in the world, you know, inflation, bigger contracts, you can only pay so much money to these elite players before it eats up a huge chunk of your salary cap, right? So,
yeah, and you know, the NFL is obviously in a position where they're doing well as a league, so the salary cap should go up, because even though the players are millionaires, the owners are billionaires. So the more you can spend on players, the better. The more teams can spend to develop their teams, the better. So yeah, it's good all around to see the salary cap go up. Hopefully that means teams can keep making improvements. And we get what to me is interesting, which is player movement. The more we see with player movement and teams acquiring players, and I like an active trade deadline this year in the NFL, you know, stack up, load up on players and go for a run. See how far you can get in the playoffs. And I think it's great content for people like us who want to yap about it. A salary cap going up is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Falcons have cut the tight end Jonnu Smith. So the Atlanta Falcons are going with just Kyle Pitts. So, Mike, does that give you a more optimistic view of Mr. Pitts, or?
I reserve my judgment until we see who their quarterback is. Because, frankly,
that's fair. Yeah.
I don't care if Kyle Pitts is the only one on the field. I don't trust him right now, and I don't trust that the team is going to use him properly until you get a good – if you get a solid – I mean, they've changed up their coaching staff, but the coaching staff is smart, and you get a solid quarterback in there, then my opinion changes on most of the Falcons, and I would expect a bounce-back year from these young, talented players. But right now, I'm reserving my judgment.
Okay. I mean, so – I'm just looking at the stats from last season there. So Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith finished 11 points apart in terms of fantasy.
Yeah.
So let's say they don't replace him with anybody, you know, maybe they just draft a rookie kind of later in the round, or, you know, just pick somebody, some random guy up off free agency, you know, just to be, okay, you're our second tight end for second tight end sets. There's a chance those 100 fantasy points go to Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
And even without an improvement in quarterback position, although I think we're all expecting something to be improved upon there.
Yeah, like I think my opinion is this. If Kyle Pitts is with a relatively similar quarterback to Desmond Ridder, not great, not a lot of talent there, but doesn't have Jonnu Smith to compete with, and as a competent coaching staff, then I put Kyle Pitts in the category of like, yeah, he's part of that pile of tight ends that you can pick later that will probably be hit and miss. If it's a competent quarterback, I put Kyle Pitts just below right now. He hasn't earned the top five or six ranking, but just below that group of tight ends I'd want to draft first. Like, I would want to draft a bunch of certain tight ends first, but I do think with a Kirk Cousins and a good coaching staff and not a lot of competitiveness, he's talented enough for me to be like, yeah, if all the good tight ends are gone, he might be the first one I pick of the next group. Like, he's a bit of a risk, but I like the situation a heck of a lot better right now than I did last year.
Yeah, I don't. Now the flip side of all this is, how many times are we going to keep having this rosy outlook, right? Because last season we liked it a lot better than the year before. And
we didn't know that coaching staff would be that stupid.
No, we didn't. No, nobody could see that coming.
Yeah, that's not fair. Because no one knew. Who would ever be that dumb?
Yeah, he conned us all. He got us.
Yeah.
But if there is no other... even name value tight end that comes in, and same thing with the draft, if they don't really bring in any new rookie or veteran receiving option, then I know I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable with Kyle Pitts, because we've got Bijan, London, Pitts, and that's essentially it. Hopefully, whatever they do in the draft, in the free agency, it's focused on just improving the quarterback, maybe like the offensive line, stuff like that. And then if we have those three options, then if it doesn't happen, then I think we can all agree to just move on from Pitts, because it's clearly not going to happen. If it doesn't happen that kind of scenario, then I think that's it, right?
Yes, I would agree. I think this is the year. If all those things happen, they get a decent quarterback to good quarterback with a new coaching staff, probably focusing on just improving the team on an overall basis. They've got a couple weapons that I think, as far as I'm concerned, they become a team that is really interesting. They have a couple weapons that can really work for them. But if it doesn't work this year, then I'm done. I'd be done on most of them, frankly, because the situation needs to improve. It's got to be better than it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely don't know how it could be worse. So I think it will be better, because I don't know what the alternative would look like.
It's true. Just
stop playing. I don't know.
The NFL, you never know. I mean, no. Antonio Brown.
That's true.
Tell you.
That's true. The Kansas City Chiefs are releasing wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Not the receiver I thought they would have released.
Nope. That was not where I thought they would go.
Nope. I kind of thought Tony was heading for the bus.
Yep.
But nope. Still a wide receiver for them. Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling wasn't really doing anything either. But like, he was at least capable when they went to him. But Tony, they scratched him for the Super Bowl. Like, why are you keeping him on the team?
It's hard to say without knowing exactly what the contract situation is. Like, maybe there's a reason they got to release him at a certain time for money reasons. But yeah, like, I don't understand this move. Like, I would have kept him and for sure gotten rid of Tony. Like, I don't understand what they think is going to happen there, especially with, wasn't he saying, like, he was mouthing off and saying a bunch of stuff too. Like, I feel like he's a distraction.
He 100% is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. Okay. We're going to let that roll for another season, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, see what happens. I wouldn't trust him. I really wouldn't.
No, me either. And clearly they don't, because they sat him in the Super Bowl, but whatever. Maybe they're trying to see if they can offload him to somebody. I don't know. Hmm. The Vikings are releasing running back Alexander Mattison. So that was his first year without Dalvin Cook. And that was kind of his year to kind of prove, like, hey, I can be the new Dalvin Cook. And didn't really work out. They've got Ty Chandler and Cam Akers now. I'm guessing they're probably going to try to lean on Cam Akers as their guy. Maybe draft a running back if they don't pick one up in the free agency.
Hmm.
I don't know where Madison is going to go, though. I really don't know, because he's kind of been a career backup outside of last year, and he didn't really make a splash, because he probably would have stayed with the Vikings if he did. So I don't know who would take him. Or where he would go.
Yeah, I mean, someone will take a chance on him, but I like kind of agree. I just don't see someone saying, this is our guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think they bring him in because it's like, oh, we've got another guy that we like, and we're going to bring you in. And it's a kind of a 1-2 punch and see who wins the job. I can't see someone saying, this is who we're going with. Again, I guess it depends, right? The desperation factor of a team. I don't know how desperate the team could be.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. In Minnesota, I wouldn't be surprised if they draft a running back, you know, with that 11th pick. If they're not, they don't need receivers. They don't need a tight end. If they're going to, you're not drafting a quarterback at number 11. Like, there's not really a point there. So I would say free agency will be dealing with the quarterback issue. So I could see them maybe drafting a running back.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
And then maybe a Madison goes to like I could see Madison going to Buffalo.
Yes, I don't. Again, I don't know if that's an upgrade on James Cook.
Oh, I don't either. But that's why it kind of fits with Buffalo,
right? For the scenario of we would have the two and see who wins the job type of thing. I just don't know if Buffalo's going to give enough love to the running backs to battle it out. they just don't run the ball enough.
No, they don't. No. But the Bills did release running back Nyheim Hines, so they could slot Madison right in there. He could take over his spot of, trotting onto the field every now and then for eye candy and then trotting back off the field because they didn't give the ball to the running back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think I certainly think he'll be picked up by a team. But for him, I don't really have that many options that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think it's that scenario of you're going to share the role. That's just what's going to happen. You can't rely on him to be your guy.
No, definitely not. The Washington Commanders are releasing tight end Logan Thomas. He had a weird season.
Yeah, another kind of tight end. Odd one, yeah.
There were some weeks like you fully expected him to just be an absolute all-star, and he did nothing. And then weeks you expect him to do nothing, all-star. It's really weird.
Yeah.
He's not really a fantasy. Unless something really changed, he's not really somebody you can rely on for fantasy. I mean, like the amount of single-digit performances that he had, even in half PPR this season. I mean, not that the Washington Commanders' offense was anything amazing, but still. He would be like a backup tight end for me that I would look at no matter where he went, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So the NFL Players Association produced grades for the coaches that were based off of player surveys. So the top graded coaches were Andy Reid from the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. Not really a surprise there. You win 3 Super Bowls in 4 or 5 years, you're probably going to be on there. Dan Campbell from the Lions, Detroit Lions, not a surprise. I mean, the guy seems a little unhinged, but it's that unhinged that like you like.
He's a player's coach. Yeah.
He's a player's coach. Yeah.
Yeah. He seems unhinged, but I could imagine playing for him. You'd absolutely love it.
Absolutely.
He's always going to have your back. He's always going to be on your side. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the kind of coach when people say I'd run through a wall for that person, he's the kind of coach that invokes that in his players. He's been successful. We've seen a huge turnaround in Detroit the past 2 years, so it's whatever he's doing is working. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin O'Connell for the Minnesota Vikings. That kind of a change of pace from Dan Campbell, because Kevin O'Connell's a lot more reserved, calm, quiet, but a younger guy, definitely has the locker room's respect. I don't know if you, did you ever watch that show on Netflix, Quarterback?
No, I haven't yet.
You should definitely check it out. It's pretty good. And Kirk Cousins was one of the ones that's in it. And so you get to see a lot of Kevin McConnell in it. And so he certainly seems like a pretty good coach, knows what he's doing. And there's a couple of times he kind of owns up to bad play call, whatever. And he's like, nope, but that's my fault. Don't worry about it. You did everything fine. That's on me. Which is kind of what you want. You want that, the guy who's going to take ownership, right? Not kind of try to cast blame everywhere else. The worst ranked coaches were Josh McDaniels for the Las Vegas Raiders. Not a surprise when your team is doing as poorly as it was. And there was a lot of talk throughout the year of the locker room not really being on the same page and issues in the locker room. And then ultimately he didn't finish the year anyway. So again, not a surprise.
No.
Ron Rivera for the Washington Commanders. I was kind of surprised by him being that low just because I've never heard anything really through the news of him not having the locker room's respect and stuff, but maybe that just comes with the fact the Commanders had such a bad season. It's just one of those things. And then Arthur Smith for the Atlanta Falcons was number 32.
Yep. That's not a huge surprise.
No, not at all. I think if you asked NFL fans who it would be, it would be him. Like it would be him. Yeah.
he ruined so many people's fantasy teams this year. Like he was
right.
He was so atrocious. It's beyond words. Like you just don't even understand some of the decisions he was making. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just terrible. I did want to point out, though, so Kevin Stefanski, the Cleveland Browns head coach, was coach of the year. And he was ranked 26th out of 32. So he was in the bottom five, and yet he was the coach of the year. And then Dan Campbell was one of the runner-ups, and mm-hmm. he was in the top three. So,
yeah,
it's very interesting to me.
I mean, players aren't voting for that type of stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
you don't know.
I do need to go on the record and just correct. Arthur Smith was not the worst. He was number 30. Josh McDaniels was number 32. Josh McDaniels was the worst. So somehow Josh McDaniels was actually viewed worse than Arthur Smith.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. That's mm-hmm. really interesting to me. That's surprising. Yep. That's more surprising. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know what was going on in Las Vegas, but if you're getting ranked worse than Arthur Smith, then
nothing good. Nothing good going on there. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to reevaluate your life, whatever decisions you're making, you know, have that chat with yourself in the mirror. Like, what am I doing with my life?
I have that every single day.
Well, you send Josh McDaniels a message and tell him what he needs to do.
Darkness retreat.
Darkness retreat.
Definitely.
You, him, and Aaron Rodgers in a cave.
What a combo. What a terrible weekend that would be for me. Awful. I can't think of a worse combo for me right now. I honestly can't.
That's fair. All right. Well, that is it for time. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Take care. Stay safe.